I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we'll be referring back to this psalm through the course of this morning's message. The reason I've chosen this psalm this morning, as we've heard in the form again, and it teaches us from Scripture that there's more joy amongst the angels over a sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need any repentance. So there's joy and celebration in heaven, and we rejoice in that this morning as well. And Psalm 103 is one of those psalms. It's coupled together with Psalm 104. We're not going to look at Psalm 104, but Psalm 103 particularly is a blessing to God. And it just sounds that note of joy and goodness and celebration of all that God has done. And so I thought it would be appropriate to consider that this morning. So listen then to God's word. This is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing on his word as we consider it this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your enduring word. We're thankful for what it reveals to us of your praiseworthiness. And we pray that you would help us with the angels to rejoice in your work of grace toward us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear people of God, this psalm opens with a summons for us to bless the Lord. It's an exhortation, it's a command, it's a directive. Bless the Lord. It opens with that and it closes with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And our soul is our whole being. It's not just our body, it's also our inner being. It's not just our thoughts, it's our feelings, it's our wills, and it's connected with our whole existence. All that is within me, bless his holy name. That's the call that we have this morning. But the reason behind this is found in verse 2. And forget not all his benefits. This alerts us that there's a danger that we are in, a danger that flows from forgetting what the Lord has graciously given to us. This is what God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 8. They're about ready to go into the promised land. And you know, in the promised land, God said, you're going to receive things that are just astounding. You're going to be in houses that you haven't built. You're going to have vineyards that you haven't planted. You're going to have crops growing, and you're going to succeed, and you're going to prosper in the promised land because it is good. And he says, don't forget. Don't forget that I, the Lord your God, have given you all of this. I have blessed you in this. You see, there's a danger that we all have that while we celebrate these joyful experiences, that life returns to normal or life becomes routine. And there is a constant danger in the routines of life that you forget the blessing of our God. All that you are and all that you have is from the Lord. Do not forget all His benefits. In the routines of life, you must speak to your soul. That's what the psalmist is encouraging us. The whole of the psalm is really a self-exhortation. It's self-direction. It's now let's think about this together. And he takes us together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, in all the challenges we face, when the wonder wears off, when it's just the routines of life, bless the Lord. Esther, we celebrate with you and Joe and your family, your readmission, the baptism of Esme, and we can say how good the Lord is. Indeed, that is the case. We know it's the Lord who has brought us to this point, and we give Him all the praise. But life in the church takes on a routine, doesn't it? We all have this. It just becomes very familiar. And there's this concern that we kind of hit these spiritual doldrums. The doldrums are that place in the ocean where the wind doesn't blow and there's not the exciting currents or anything like that. And you just kind of stagnate. And we need this exhortation. Because when life becomes normal, not only do we start to look around, but how often we forget. Do not forget all of His benefits. As we unpack this, the psalmist does this in ever-expanding circles. He starts with the personal benefits, then he looks at the community benefits, and then there's the celestial call to the angels and to the farthest extent of God's activity for all of us to bless His holy name. And so I'd like to consider that this morning personally. There's this personal benefits, and we see this in verses 3 through 5. The communal benefits, or the community benefits, we find this in verses 6 through 19. And finally, the celestial call comes in verses 20 through 22. First of all, personally, verses 3 through 5. This is the summons of the soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then it's going to unfold for us a series of benefits. And by my count, there are six benefits here. Six benefits that are listed that give us reasons and target the mind and target our hearts in recounting the benefits. And it's verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. You serve a God. It is the covenant Lord who not only has a relationship with you, but He forgives all your iniquities, all of them. From the great big ones to the small minuscule ones. Isn't it astounding? He doesn't say some of your iniquities, but all of them. His saving work is so complete, so overwhelming that you don't need to guess whether there are any outstanding payments for any of your sins, because they have all been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. That's a reason personally for us to celebrate as we've sung, My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole of it is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Exhort yourself. When you're a bit tired and despairing in the Christian life, what is so good about living with God? Ah, He forgives all your iniquities. Second one, He heals all your diseases. With the advances in medical technology, how easy it is to forget that our most basic need is for God to grant healing to our bodies. This isn't a guarantee that you won't be sick. It's a reminder that in the midst of sickness and in health, to look at these as the design of God's purpose. You see, it isn't saying, oh, God's going to heal everything. It's a reminder that if there's going to be any healing at all, it's going to come by God's hand. And that is where our souls need that comfort and that confidence. Remember Paul. Paul prayed three times that the thorn in his flesh, that messenger from Satan, that physical problem that he had would be taken away, would be removed so that he could carry on in the glorious work of the gospel. And did the Lord bring healing? No, not physically. And yes, he did most magnificently spiritually. Because he said, no, Paul, that thorn in your flesh isn't going to be taken away, but what you're going to see is that my grace and my power is amplified, it's magnified in your weakness. And that is a healing that we all need, that we desperately need. When our confidence begins to be placed in medicine rather than the God who uses the medicine, we need to be drawn back and say, oh, wait a minute. No, who is the one who heals all our diseases? Let us remember Him. And He has a greater purpose that we may not understand, that we will submit to and follow. That's the second benefit. The third benefit, He redeems your life from the pit. The pit is a way of talking about the grave. And it doesn't mean you won't go there. Like the previous one with healing, your life is secure even as you face the grave. And even there, God isn't abandoning you, but He will redeem your life. Notice it's your life. He's going to preserve and protect that work of grace that He started, where you come to realize your life is found in Christ and all of His work. That life won't be taken from you, even when you face physical death. Your life is redeemed from the pit. He's paid the price. He's bought you back. Now it's not the grim reaper who has control of your life. It's the Father in heaven who has control of your life. And even in the grave, you can be secure in Him. As we work through, it's almost like this deterioration. So there's the forgiveness of your iniquities, the healing of your diseases, and He takes us right to the border of the grave, and He says, you know what can be your confidence in all of this? The next benefit, He crowns you. Isn't that unusual? It's like we're starting to look at our feet, and we have feet of clay. But what do you realize when you face the pit? Wait a minute, you've been crowned. You've been crowned with an enduring crown. Who crowns you? This is the fourth benefit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. That love, that covenant character that God bestows upon His people, the chesed. It's the wondrous reality that in all of life He's faithful and nothing can take you away from His affections. That He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. And there's mercy, there's compassion. He looks upon you. And in this way, you gain the next benefit, who satisfies you with good. When you realize everything God has done, it's what the psalmist says, and I think it's Psalm 16, apart from you, I have no good thing. God is our greatest good. And in this way, he satisfies you when you realize everything he has done. And lastly, so satisfied will you be that your youth is renewed like eagles. I often use this psalm in a pastoral visit to those who have undergone surgery or for those who have been sick, and I'm always struck by this. What are we saying here? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. We need to understand the character of an eagle. Youth is a sign of strength. And how is strength renewed like an eagle? I didn't realize it, but an eagle's life, and in their life, they molt, which means they take all their feathers off. Their feathers get damaged as they're hunting, and they can't fly as quickly and as stably if their feathers are damaged and broken. And so what happens is they go through a season in which they molt, which means they lose all their feathers. And so they can't fly even. And for a bird of prey, that means no food. But then those feathers grow back, and they grow back whole and complete, and they're renewed in their flying. It's a renewal of strength to supply their need. And that's what the psalmist is reminding us of. That God is able to renew you in your soul, no matter how old, no matter how young. There's always an opportunity to grow and to be renewed in your understanding and learning the wonder, the magnificence, the benefits of God's ways. These are the personal, spiritual blessings of how the Lord starts, sustains, and provides for His children in grace. Each is an occasion for blessing Him, a gift through Jesus. Forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies you with good, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Each a blessing from Him. Don't forget. In those times of routine, recount these blessings to yourself. I don't know about you, but when your life becomes routine, it often affects your prayers, doesn't it? And your prayers become routine. And you start to pray simply about your needs or about the needs of those who are close to you. I think these six blessings are great petitions for us to unpack in prayer. And to say, what am I to really be thankful to God for? What am I to praise Him for? How am I to see Him? How am I to understand His work? How am I to find a new joy in life that celebrates the wonder of what He is doing? Here, go through these benefits. Bless the Lord. You can bring this blessing to God in prayer and in petition and say, God, I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful that in Your mercy You've looked upon me and shown this to my soul. So don't forget. Not only are there these personal benefits, there's also the communal benefits, verses 6 through 19. And notice the focus shifts just a little bit. Let me explain what I mean by this. It moves from the personal now to recognizing the body. It's particularly Israel, verse 7, his acts to the people of Israel. Verse 10, he does not deal with us. Notice it's plural. He doesn't deal with us or repay us according to our iniquities. The focus from the psalmist now goes from internal more to those who are around him. And he recognizes this. Verse 12, again, as far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Or verse 17 and following, it includes our children. From everlasting to everlasting, the steadfast love of the Lord is on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children. There's multi-generational character to this. It's the realization of what God has done for Israel. And when you receive the personal benefits of God's grace, they are never designed simply for yourself, for self-service or self-consumption or self-absorption or self-protection. They're always designed to be worked out in the community of the believers. I think that's the beauty of that song, then, safe within thy fold. So Hester, as we celebrate your readmission, we recognize it's the work of grace that God has shown to you personally. It's the extension of promises that God has given to Esme. But it's also the beauty of the body of Christ. When God saves us, He gives our hand life, but He doesn't leave that hand just dangling there somewhere, cut off on its own. He knits it together with the body. Imagine if your hand was severed. You wouldn't be happy just to have it there in the freezer. You want it reattached to your body. And that's the wonder. Here we can flourish in the body of Christ. That's the calling for us to recognize. And the bulk of this psalm actually deals with these communal realities. And we learn to see the character of God that this section begins and ends with. As it reminds us, the Lord is the one who works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He looks upon the body of Christ and he sees there's a body that needs justice and it needs righteousness because we're oppressed. And we go back to Israel living in bondage and slavery to sin. How desperately we need this as the body of Christ. And he recounts the Exodus and everything that was happened. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And he takes us right to Mount Sinai. And there the glorious revelation that God gave to Moses. He is a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. You see, it's God's character that looks upon the body in their needs. And he hears them as they cry out to him. He intervenes to secure justice. And it ends with that wonderful relationship. This section ends, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. And that kingdom now encompasses all people and nations and tribes and languages and all the wonder of the church of Jesus Christ. And right in the center, we're not going to go through all the characters, but right in the center, there's that wonderful character of God. As a father shows compassion, verses 13 and 14, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. You see, personally, it took us to the grave. Communally, what does it remind us of? That the blessings of God are shared by a community of people, but it's a community of people who are nothing but dust. It's the Father who establishes this, but it's a pretty humble image of God's community. It's a collection of sinners who look to the Father for a constant provision of grace to atone for their sins and to guide their walk. Don't forget. He knows. He knows, notice it says, our frame. He knows us as a congregation. He knows us as the Church of Jesus Christ. There's not only a personal weakness, it's also a communal weakness. And he remembers that we are dust. Go through these verses. We're not going to do that this morning, but go through these verses and all that God does for a community of sinners. For a community of those who are weak in frame and overwhelmed by sin. And see the steadfast love of the Lord, which endures from everlasting to everlasting. Don't forget the communal benefits of our God. And thirdly, the psalm closes with a celestial call. In light of all that, oh angels, look upon his work. Look upon his work in the church. Look upon his work in the individual. And you, his angels, you mighty ones who are there constantly doing his will, and you wonder, why does he deal with these dust people? Why does he deal with these dust communities? Why is he working in a dust bowl where there is just weakness and frailty and inability and all of that? You ever wonder if the angels look and say, what in the world is the Lord doing as they look upon his work here on earth? What does the psalmist say? Bless them, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Because in the midst of obedience, there's something more. There's that grace of the Lord to look upon his people in need and to show them all grace and mercy. A grace and mercy which is beyond even an angelic comprehension and an angelic obedience that is found only in the triune God, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. And that's a reason for the celestial host. And he doesn't stop with the angels. He goes beyond. And it's like he stretches to the boundaries of God's creation. Imagine that. They've just found, what, 5 or 6 more galaxies? We can't comprehend. We can't even see what's going on out there. But right to the ends, the very remotest regions, God is saying, bless the Lord for the way he works. And for the wonders that he is accomplishing on behalf of his church and behalf of his elect. And yet, for all of that, don't get lost in the celestial anthems, because it closes very personally and it draws us right back to earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The very ground of your personal walk. The more we are aware of this celestial reasons for praise, the more we will find occasion for blessing God in our personal life and our communal life. Esther, as you teach Esme the routines of the Christian walk, don't neglect to impress upon her to help us as a community to see the wonder of the benefits that God has bestowed upon you personally and bestowed upon us communally, that we can celebrate that God is working. He's doing something. And with the angels in heaven, we can say, bless the Lord. Do not forget all his benefits. Amen.